We're holding on Kuf Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. We're discussing this case in the Mishnah where you have an animal that has a limb that's partially detached from it, called Avraham Adoldol or Basam Adoldol. We had flesh that was hanging off, so we talk about what the dinim are as far as Tumas Eichlin, as far as Hechsher, and so forth. So now the Mishnah had said, Nishchata Behema Becholah, that if the animal was shechted with this limb still hanging off it, then we had a machlokas in the Mishnah. We had Reb Meir saying that the blood of the shechita makes it that this limb is also mukshal kabel tumah, and therefore, in other words, that it will be able to contract tumah by touching something else. It doesn't need another separate hechsher. Whereas Reb Shimon had said that it does not. It actually need the blood of the shechita is not machshir it, and you need a separate hechsher. It needs to be wedded with one of the shiva mashkim in order to be able to contract tumah. So the Gemara says, "B'mai komiflegi." What is the underlying machlokas between Reb Meir and Reb Shimon? So the Gemara is going to bring a whole bunch of different, and the Gemara is going to bring six different answers from different Amoraim to explain the machlokas. Number one, Amar Rabba, the behema nasis yad la ever komiflegi. The machlokas is, can the rest of the animal be considered a yad for this limb? Now, we learned earlier in our perek all about the matter of yad, where you have stems of fruit or bones attached to meat, etc. We have all kinds of a number of different cases where you have something which is a handle by which the food can be picked up and moved, and that kind of thing is called a yad. Now, the question is, now Rashi points out that everybody's going to agree, both Reb Meir and Reb Shimon, that if the yad becomes mukshar, if it becomes wedded with one of the shiva mashkim, then automatically the food that it's attached to also becomes susceptible to tumah. But the machlokas is, can the animal as a whole be considered a yad for that one limb? We did have a machlokas earlier in our perek on the question. We had Reb Chiya Ba'ashi and Reb Yochanan arguing whether in fact, if the yad is wedded, whether the food that's attached to it becomes mukshar lekabel tumah or not. We had a machlokas on that earlier in our perek. But now we're going to say, we had Reb Chiya Ba'ashi saying in the name of Rab, versus we had Reb Yochanan. Now we're going to assume, says Rabba, both Tanoim agree that in fact, once the yad becomes wedded, then the food itself automatically becomes susceptible to tumah as well. And the question is, though, is the animal as a whole considered a yad for that limb or not? So Mar Sofer, Reb Shimon is going to hold Ein Behema Nasas Yad La'Ever. The whole animal can't be considered a yad for just one limb. Therefore, fine, the yad becomes wedded, then the food becomes mukshal lekabel tumah. But here, the animal as a whole cannot be considered a yad for it. So therefore, even if the rest of the animal got splattered with blood of the shechita, then this limb did not, and therefore it's not mukshal lekabel tumah. Or Mar Sova, whereas your mayor is going to hold behemah nasas yad laever, the entire animal can be considered a yad for that one limb. So that's one way of understanding the machlokas. Abaya says a second way. We can assume it's not a matter of yad. We're going to say, on the contrary, says it, Rashi explains, both, according to Abaya's answer, both of them are going to agree that the whole animal can't be considered a yad for one aver. But like this, the machlokas would be, never mind as far as a yad, is it actually considered one big thing? Well, the question would be, if you pick up the small detached end, and the whole rest of it does not pick up with it, instead it's going to break off, is that considered to be one piece of food as well? You have an interesting nafkamina from that as far as hamotzi. When you're making on Shabbos, you have to have lecha mishnah, sometimes you may have a challah which is a little bit broken or a little bit cut. When do we consider that it's still one intact challah and one not? So actually, so the post-Gemara point, Achronim point out, based on our Gemara over here, you can have a similar kind of distinction. If you can pick up, it comes up as far as matzah and Pesach as well. If you have it's partially cracked or broken, and you're able to pick up by the small part, and the whole thing goes with it, it's not so broken, the break or the crack is not so large, and therefore, even if you pick up the smaller area, and the larger one comes with it, then it can still be considered one solid piece as far as challah or matzah or whatever. So now you have a similar kind of thing. Think of it. If you pick up the animal as a whole, sure, the Aver is going to come with it. But if you pick it up by that Aver, is the whole animal going to come with it? Probably not. It'll probably break off because it's not going to, the whole rest of the animal is far too heavy. So now, is it still considered to be one solid piece? If it was, then part of it becoming wet means that the whole thing is now susceptible to Tumah. If not, then not. Well, that's going to be the Machlokas. So now, Reb Meir is going to hold that even if you grab by the small part and the big one does not come along with it, doesn't matter, Hareho Kamayhu, it's still considered part of it. It's enough that if it was the other way around, if you were to pick up the large part and the small part would come along with it, then that's still considered enough to be connected. Therefore, Reb Meir is going to say, very well, the main body of the animal got wet with the blood of the Shtita, at least the neck did, and therefore, so that's fine. That part is definitely still all one cohesive piece. Now you have this Aver Hamadoldol or Bos Hamadoldol. It will pick up with it as well. It's not the other way around. If you pick it up by the Aver or by the Bosser, it's going to break off. Doesn't matter. The mayor says that's still considered that it's connected, which would mean, in other words, again, as far as Chala and whatever, then the mayor would presumably also hold that in that case, by Chalas, it wouldn't matter even if you pick up by the small end and then the big end breaks off. Or Mar Sova, where's Reb Shimon, would hold it's not like it. They're considered two separate. It's considered two separate pieces. So that's another way of understanding the Machlokas. So one point is though, Mephoshim point out that we still have to figure out though. The Mishnah did tell us before that this Aver Ha'bos Amadol Dolan is considered. We said that the Mishnah had said that Metam and Tumas Ochlin b'Mekayman, they're able to contract Tumas Ochlin in their place. But according to Reb Meir, now we would say that now Abaya is saying according to Reb Meir, it's considered part of the actual animal itself. So there's a distinction that's made between they are partially broken off, and therefore they can be considered oichel, whereas the animal as a whole is not considered oichel, it's not considered food when it's alive, but after it's shechted, all of it becomes oichel. So now we can say the question is, how connected are they considered? And the Gemara says, v'af Reb Yochanan, in fact, it's not only Abaya that points out that that's the underlying point of their machlokas. Reb Yochanan also holds the same way, and we know that Reb Yochanan Rami, Reb Meir, because Reb Yochanan pointed out a seeming contradiction between two statements of Reb Meir. Me Amar Reb Meir Oiches V'Katan V'En Gadol Oyla Imay Hareu Kamayu. Is Reb Meir really saying that if you have something which is partially cut or broken, and then you try to pick up the small end, and the big end won't come up with it, and it'll break off? Are you telling me Hareu Kamayu that Reb Meir is going to consider it to be part of it, and therefore that would mean the whole thing is still considered one cohesive unit, and whatever applies as far as Tumah and Tahara to one part is going to apply to the other? But I have a contradiction from a Mishnah in the Sechta Tzvul Yoim. Now we know you have a person who's Tomei, who has a full-fledged Toma, and then you have a person who is toibled and not yet had a head of Shemesh. Midaraisa, any time a person toibles, they also have to wait until nightfall, and only then they have the next stage of their Tara, some Tmeim, that's it. Now they're Tohar and nothing further is needed. Some Tmeim they also need, in addition, Korbanos, and they're called Mechusa Kapara, that's another matter. In any case, if Tvul Yoim has special Dinim, he's still partially Tomei, but his Tumah is now weaker than it was before. So you have a Masechta, and you have a Masechta in Seder Taras called Tvul Yoim that talks about the dinim of that as they relate to Tumah V'Tahara and other details. So here, Reb Meir is saying, seemingly in our Mishnah, again following Abaya's understanding of Reb Meir, that the question is whether this limb is considered attached to the animal, and the basic question is, again, if you were to pick it up by that limb, would the rest of the animal pick up together with it, or would it break off? So now, Uraminu, though I have a contradiction, and Reb Meir seems to be saying that yes, it's still considered connected, Uraminu, but then I have a contradiction from this Mishnah in Tzvul Yoim. The Mishnah says, Oichol Shenifras, if you have food that was broken, or cut, Shenifras, it actually points out, is related to the word prusa, which means like a piece of bread. Ura b'miktas, but it's still partially attached. Reb Meir says, Im oichos v'katan v'gadol oyle imoy, harehu kamoy. Reb Meir says, if you can pick it up by the small piece, and the big piece will go, and the big piece will come along with it. Harehu kamayu, then it's considered part of it, and therefore if a tevul yom touches part of it, then it's going to all have the din of something that was touched by a tevul yom, which is going to be, as far as cholin, it doesn't really matter, but as far as trum of a kodshim, he's going to make them tame. The basic rule is that a tevul yom is going to make, with truma, he's going to make it a shlishi l'truma, and with kodshim, he'll make it a revi l'truma. So the mayor says that, but only if you can pick it up by either end and the other one will come with it. If not, then it's not considered like it. If not, then they're not considered to be connected. And therefore, for example, if the tevul yom touched the small end, then the large end would not become tamei. So now, Yechanan asks, and the mayor seems to be contradicting himself, because here you have in our Mishnah the small end, the limb that's hanging off, and yet the mayor is saying the whole thing is considered connected, and over there not. And V'om Rabbi Yechanan Mukhlefes Hashita. And Rabbi Yochanan says, you have to say that Rabbi Meir changed his mind in the two places. Not changed his mind, really, but Rabbi Meir is varying from his usual shitta. Usually, he would hold that it doesn't matter, that it doesn't matter, even if you pick up by the small end, and the big end breaks off, then it's still considered to be connected, and therefore that explains our Mishnah, only in that case of Tevul Yom is he saying differently. He seems to be inconsistent and saying that you have to actually pick up by both ends. Now it's interesting, the usual word mukhlefas ashita in the Gemara usually means the opinions have to be flipped around, meaning that the Tana who taught that Mishnah or that Braisa mistakenly flipped around the opinions. You have that all over in Shas. But here, Rashi is explaining that it means that he's varying from his usual way. Now, in fact, Tosfos points out that if you look in the Mishnayos in Masechet Tevul Yom, you actually have Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda saying the other way around. You have Reb Meir saying the opposite of what he says over here, only even if you pick up by the big end and the small end comes with it, only then is it like it, but not the other way around. And Reb Yehuda is the one who says if you hold by the small end. So then it would have to mean, so Tosfos Yomtiv, in fact, on the Masechtas Tevul Yom, points out that that can mean another meaning of Mukhlefes Hashita, not like Rashi is saying over here, that Reb Meir is varying from his usual opinion, but rather than, in fact, the two opinions have been flipped around, and therefore, in other words, the Mishnah in Tevul Yom was later on, when Rabbi Yochanan is pointing out the contradiction, the version of the Mishnah in Tevul Yom was as we have it in the Gemara over here, and therefore there seems to be a contradiction. Once we give this answer, Mukhlefes Hashita, then later copyists and eventually printers of the Mishnayos flipped around the opinions to conform with that. In any case, the point is, the very fact that Rabbi Yochanan is pointing out this contradiction shows that evidently he understands Reb Meir and our Mishnah the same way as Abaya does, namely that that in our Mishnah we're talking about the case where if you pick it up by that partially detached limb, the whole thing won't come with it, so it'll break off. Is that still considered connected or not? And Reb Meir seems to be saying that yes, which is why Rabbi Yochanan says that it seems to be contradicting the Mishnah in Tevul Yom. But the Gemara asks anyway, before we continue with understanding our Mishnah, we have to ask, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what's the question anyway? My kushya. Why does Rabbi Yochanan consider that to be a question in the first place, that then he has to give the answer that Rabbi Meir is being inconsistent from what he says here to there, or that we say we have to say the opinions are flipped around or whatever? You could say very simply, Dilma Shani Leila Rabbi Meir ben Tevul Yom L'Shar Tumas. Maybe Rabbi Meir would hold that there's a distinction between a Tevul Yom and other Tumas. Now Rashi says the reason, in other words, maybe in the case of Tevul Yom, Rabbi Meir would say that only if it's connected enough, that even you pick it up on a small part and the big part will come with it, only then will we consider it connected. But if not, then not. He's being makel over there. And so he's being makel over there because Tevul Yom is a lesser degree of tumah. Rashi actually says that Tevul Yom is a tumah derabanan. Now, it's hard to understand that because Tevul Yom is actually deraisa. So in fact, Gurion Ashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger over here wonders, and he says it's Sorach Iyun Gadol. He says it's very, very hard to understand why Rashi would say that. The fact is, it is a Tevul Yom Daraisa, and if he touches the concept of Tevul Yom exists Daraisa, the Torah over and over says Uvah Hashemesh V'Torah, that a person has to wait until nightfall, or other expressions like that. A person has to wait till nightfall, and then he becomes completely Torah. And in fact, if he touches Truma, he may before nightfall, then he actually makes it Tomei, Midaraisa. So in fact, what Rashi should have said is that a Tsvuyoim's Truma is weaker, in the sense before it was a strong Truma, and now it becomes weaker because after all he did Tovel. Why does Rashi use such an odd expression to say that that the Truma is only Durabonon when really it's Daraisa, and really what it is just a weaker Truma Daraisa. So the Rashash brings a point. He says that he asks the same question. He says maybe what we mean is specifically what kind of tzvur yoim are we talking about? Sometimes we have, for example, you have a person went through a beis hakras, a person went through a field where at one point a grave was plowed up, and we can't be sure whether the bones have been scattered all over the field. Some of the rabbanon a person is tomei. So now if he tovels, then he's a tzvur yoim. He had the tovel only the rabbanon. So maybe then, so the rashash says maybe we're talking about a case like that. Okay. In any case. Why is Rabbi Yochanan pointing out a contradiction in Rabbi Meir's statements when he could answer very easily that tzvur yoim is different than other kinds of truma? So the Gemara answers the reason why Rabbi Yochanan asked the question is because Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Omer, echad tzvur yoim ve'echad shar trumas, because Rabbi in fact says there's no difference between a tzvur yoim and other kinds of trumas. Either way, whatever is considered touching, as far as a tzvur yoim is going to be considered a touch, as far as other trumas and vice versa. Well, therefore, so you can't say that it's a chula in tzvur yoim versus other trumas. Okay, so what? Fine, but okay, maybe Rabbi holds there's no difference, but a mayor holds there is. So still, why does Rabbi Yochanan consider that to be a contradiction? It's fine. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan." So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hochi Amar Rabbi Yochanan." Fine. What Rabbi Yochanan means is, "L'divrei Rabbi Mochlefes Hashita." If you go according to Rabbi, who doesn't hold that there should be that distinction, then necessarily we would have to say that a mayor is being inconsistent and holds one way by its volume and others by other and others by other tumas. In other words, yes, you know, Meir himself might hold this such a distinction, but evidently Rebbe doesn't. Well, then Rebbe would actually hold. So then we would have to say that according to Rebbe, then Reb Meir is being inconsistent between one and another. Fine. In any case, so that was a side point. That was the point is that Reb Meir holds like Abaya as far as understanding the two opinions of our Mishnah, that the machloikus is whether if you pick it up by the small end, whether the big end is going to come along with it. And in this case, with the Aver, it probably won't. Then is that considered connected? Reb Meir holds nevertheless it is. And therefore, Hechsher, therefore being wedded with one of the Shiva Mashkim on any part of it makes the whole thing susceptible to Truma, whereas Reb Shimon disagrees. Okay. Third answer to explain the two opinions in our Mishnah. Rava Omer be yesh yad la truma ve'ein yad la hechsher kamiflagi. Rava says almost the opposite of Rava. The question is going to be about there is a yad for truma, and that we know for sure. We learned at the beginning of our parak, we learned from a posik that there's definitely a yad as far as truma, in the sense, as we said, lahachnas or lahoitzi. We went through a whole discussion learning the relevant psukim, the relevant joshas from psukim, that in fact you do have that a yad is able to bring truma into the food, and it's also able to bring truma outward if the food itself is already tomei, to transmit truma to something else. The question is, ein yad la hechsher, what about, would there be a yad as far as hechsher, komitzvigi that's machlokas. So mar sova, yesh yad la truma, ein yad la hechsher. So then, Reb Shimon is going to hold, yes, there's a yad as far as truma, but there's no yad as far as hechsher. The fact that the yad got wet, fine, we're going to say that the whole animal is considered a yad for the limb, so it's not going to be like Rabba said, the machlokas is on that point. It's not going to be like Abaya said has anything to do with the small end or the big end or anything. The question is going to be kind of the opposite of Rabba. It's definitely a given that the animal is considered, the rest of the animal is considered a yad for this aver, but does that mean that because the yad got wetted, automatically the food is mukshul kabel truma or not? So mar sava yesh yad la truma vein yad la heksha. Reb Shimon is going to hold, fine, it can be a yad as far as truma, no question about that. But there's no yad as far as hechsher. Omar Sava, yesh yad, l'tumah ula hechsher, whereas a mayor is going to hold the yad, applies both to tumah and to hechsher, which in fact, earlier, again, earlier in our perek, we had a machlokas between Rab, between Rabchi Ba'ashi, in the name of Rab, versus Rabbi Yechanan, about that point, whether, where Rab had held that ein yad l'hechsher, and Rabbi Yechanan had said yesh yad l'hechsher. Very well then, says Rava, so the machlokas of Rab Meir and Rab Shimon in our Mishnah is going to be the exact same machlokas. So in other words, it's exactly the opposite of Rabba. Okay. Rapapa Omar, a fourth answer. Rapapa says, Behechsher koidim machshava kamifrigi. The machloikas in our Mishnah is going to be, if the hechsher took place before the machshava, before it was thought and decided that this should be kind of, that this should be considered food. Now, when you have things that are in and of themselves food, then there's no need for any kind of machshava. Then automatically it's food, and automatically once it gets wedded with one of the shiva mashkim, then automatically it becomes susceptible to tumah. The question is over here, where in this case it's not really necessarily meant to be food, because after all it's an eva menachai, it's going to be also for anybody to eat. Even a goy is not allowed to eat it. As we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, you could have that conceivably the person can think that he's going to feed it to a goy. Which, as we learned yesterday, the Tosfos Yom Tov points out, not that the goy is allowed to eat it either, but you're much more likely to find a goy who would be willing to be over on that and eat Eivim Menachai more than you are to find a yid who would do that. The point is, in other words, that it's not something that by default is assumed to be food. So now, but now, let's say the case, you shechted it, you didn't have in mind yet what you're going to do with this limb, and now afterwards you decided, you know what, I'm going to try to find a goy who wants to eat it. So now, the hechsher came before it was ever thought that it's going to become, that it's going to become food. So that would be the machlokas then. And we know, therefore, so that would be the question. You know, Shimon would hold that the fact is it was shechted. Okay, it was shechted, but at that point, this Eva wasn't going to be considered food because it's Eva Menachai. So now, and it doesn't become mutter with the shechita, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. So therefore, so now, if you want it to become, so now, if it's going to be susceptible to tumah, it's going to need to be wedded again with one of the Shiva Mashkim for that to happen. Whereas Reb Meir holds, it doesn't matter. The fact is it was wedded, even though at the time it wasn't thought to be food, but now it is, and therefore it can be mukshel lekabel tumah. As in fact, it's not. As in fact, we learn in a Mishnah, or it's a Braisa really, so it says on the side, it should be the Tanya. We learn in a Braisa, Om Rabbi Yehuda, Tach Hoye Rabbi Akiva Shoyne. Rabbi Akiva used to teach, but by the way, there is a point over here, actually, before we get to that, the fact is that really, actually, we learned earlier in the Masechta that Min HaTorah, it actually would be mutter to eat that Ezra Vabasa Amadodolin. We learned back on Daf Ayin Dalet, in the fourth parak, we learned about that concept that really, Midaraisa, would be mutter, and it's only Midarabonon that we said that, we said Ein Bahen Ela Mitzvahs Proish Govad, that Rabbi Yochanan had said over there, that it's only Midarabonon, you have to stay away from it. Well, then, of course, it's considered food. Minatoda. So then, how would it not be able to be to become? To how would it not be considered food for this purpose? So there, the Tiferes Yaakov says, well, very simple. Look, I mean, once the Chachamim said it's also to eat, then therefore, then it's not considered food anymore. Same as anything else that's not generally edible is not considered food, and therefore you'd have this machlokas of now it became wedded before that. Okay, so the Gemara of Titania, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, we learn in a Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda says, Kachoy Rabbi Akiva Shoyne. Rabbi Akiva used to teach as follows. Suppose you have an animal that was properly shechted, so now it's mutter to eat, but it has chaylev in it, and as we learned extensively earlier in our Masechta, the chaylev, certain fats in it, are also to eat. So now, the kfarim, in villages, tzorech machshava ve'en tzorech hechsher. So now, in villages, for it to be considered food, it would require machshava. You'd have to specifically decide that you plan to eat it for food. However, it doesn't require hechsher, shekar hukshah b'shechita, because it was already mukshah by the shechting. When you shechted, blood came out, and therefore, and that covers the whole animal, including the chaylev. Now, what's the difference between cities and villages? Rashi gives two explanations. First of all, in villages, there aren't very many people living over there. So when you shecht an animal, it'll comfortably feed the people in the village. You don't really need to resort to the chaylev in order to have extra food for people to eat. On the other hand, in cities, in big cities, you have more people, so they're going to have a harder time, so therefore you might have, again, Jews are not going to be allowed to eat chaylev, but at least the point is you're going to start looking for goyish customers for it because it's a city, and they have a harder time getting a hold of meat. Then Rashi's second explanation is the other way around. In villages, they're poor, so therefore they don't usually eat So they don't usually eat chalev, because chalev is rich, expensive stuff, as opposed to in cities. They're usually richer, so therefore they may well pay extra and eat the chalev. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, in a village, if you shecht an animal, then for the chalev to have tumas oichlin, would require that you specifically thought that it should be used as food. The ain't sort of hechsher, but it doesn't need hechsher because it was already muchsher through the shechting, through the blood that came out then. Because it already became muchsher in the shchita. That was Rabbi Akiva's teaching. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Amauti the fun of." So now I said before him, I said to Rabbi Akiva, why? Limad tonu Rabbeinu, Rebbe, you've taught us, ulshin shalikdan, if a person picked ulshin, which are a type of vegetable, we have the mention as one of the five potential, as one of the five possible types of murder. It's commonly translated as endive. As endive or escarole or chicory or some related plant like that, spired him to this very day, use escarole for murder, where Ashkenazim more usually use lettuce and horseradish, spired him often use escarole. In any case, so ulshin or some kind of plant like that, they're normally edible, but now one basic rule as far as Tumas Oichlin is food that was prepared, having in mind that you're going to give it to an animal is not makabel truma, only if it was meant for human food. So here ulshin shalikdan, if you picked ulshin the hidichon and you washed them lebehema, and all of this was intending to feed it to an animal, so therefore even though you washed it, it's not yet makabel truma. Because it's animal food, the nimlach alein la'adam, and then in fact, actually, Rashi has a slightly different gersa that he picked them for behema, and then he washed them. In any case, later on, he had in mind that he's going to use it for human food. So the nimlach alein la'adam, he rethought about it and decided it for human food. Tzrichas hechsher sheni, they're going to require a second hechsher. They're going to have to be wetted again in order to be susceptible for tumah. Why? Because the hechsher came before. They were decided to be used for food. So that being the case, then says Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Akiva, what do you mean then that the chaylev of this animal should be mukshur because it was already mukshur during the shechita? Why? By the same logic, the chaylev at the time was not planned to be eaten because we're in a village, and according to Rashi's various explanations, it's not considered food in villages. Therefore, even if it became wet with the blood of the shchita, as blood flowed out of the animal during the shchita, aren't you going to need another hechsher after you decided that you're going to use it for food? And because Rabbi Akiva the Yestronik Rabbi Yehuda, and in fact Rabbi Akiva changed his mind and accepted Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and said that you're right, that you're right. And in fact the chaylev is going to need a second hechsher as well. Very well then. So now the machlokes in our Mishnah is, do we accept that revised version of Rabbi Akiva, or do we not? So the mayor is going to say yes. He's going to say the fact that it became mukshur before is good enough. It wasn't thought to be food over there. Doesn't matter. Rabbi Akiva's original version. So now the mayor is going to hold like Rabbi Akiva's original opinion. Omar Savalaka Chazara, whereas Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva's revised version. So that would be another way of explaining the machlokes. The fifth way, Rav Acha Breid Rav Ika Amar Beniskaneach Hadam Ben Simon L'Simon Kamiflegi. The machlokes is going to be in our Mishnah. Suppose that the blood got wiped off this aver between the shechting of one simon and the next. So now we're going to assume. So now we're going to say that there is a yad for tumah, no question about that. There's no yad for hechsher, so we're not going to do like Rava's answer that the machloikas is whether a yad is significant as far as hechsher. We're not going to talk about the question of whether the animal is considered a yad for it or not. But what we're going to talk about, niskaneh adam ben simon l'simon kamiflegi. In fact, some of the blood from the shchita splashed on this particular aver, but then you wiped it off before shechting the second simon. So now, what's the point? So the point is like this. what kind of blood is machshir lekabel tumah? Well, earlier in our Masechta, we learned that Reb Shimon holds that, in fact, it's not that Reb Meir. So what it is like this. Not all blood is machshir lekabel tumah. The way we learn in the first place that blood is one of the Shiva Mashkim is because you have a posik in this coming week's parasha. It's in parasha's Balak. You have an expression, v'dam chalolim yishta, he will drink the blood of the slain. So therefore, so we learn from that, earlier in our Masechta, that only certain kind of blood, only blood from slaying, from killing, is considered to be blood. That's makabel tumah, but not blood from, let's say, other kinds of injuries or something. And in fact, we had a machlokas earlier in our Masechta where Reb Shimon had said that when you shecht an animal, automatically the shechita itself makes it mukshal kabel tumah, not the blood. Whereas Reb Meir holds you need the blood to make it mukshal kabel tumah, but only the blood of the shechita. Now, the question is, that first simon, when it's cut, is not in and of itself a valid shechita, because you need two simonim to be cut, as we learned earlier, much earlier in our Masechta. So that's the question, is the blood from that first simon considered part of the blood of the shechita? If the blood had stayed on there until the end, then fine. We would say that retroactively, it's considered blood of shechita. But now that it was wiped off in between, so now you have this question. Mayor holds, doesn't matter. The entire shechita process is considered the shechita process from when you start cutting the simonim until you finish. Bahaydam shechita. Well, very well then. This is considered blood of shechita. So therefore, so it's machshir lekabel tumah. Or Mar Sava, ain't the shechita elo l'soif. Whereas Reb Shimon holds that only the end of the shechita, only when it reaches a point, when it's a valid shechita, only at that point is it considered a shechita. V'hai dam makahu, well then, very well then, this is not considered blood of shechita. This would only be considered blood from an injury, and therefore it can't be machshir lekabel tumah. That would be why Reb Shimon holds that in our case, because the blood was wiped off between one simon and another, then therefore it's not machshir lekabel tumah. Now Tosfos points out, actually, that earlier in our Masechta, when we discussed this whole matter of blood being machshir and Reb Shimon's opinion, we said that actually there was a braisa over there that Reb Shimon had said that it's the shechita alone that creates the hefshir lekabel tumah, not the blood. So in other words, according to him, the blood is not machshir at all. He holds that blood of shechita is not machshir either. According to that, then Reb Acha's opinion wouldn't work with that. So in other words, Tosfos says apparently Reb Acha did not hear of that braisa, and therefore he figured according to Reb Shimon, blood of shechita is machshir, but it has to be blood of shechita and not blood of a wound. All the other opinions over here, Tosfos says, would all hold. They all are aware of that. They all are aware of that. That Reb Shimon does in fact hold that it's the shechita alone that's machshir, not the blood, and therefore that's why they give different answers. So, for example, the Rabba's answer when he explained that according to Reb Shimon, the question is the animal considered a yad for the aver? If it was considered a yad for the aver, then automatically when you shech the animal and the rest of it is mukshal lekabel tumah, then so would that aver by itself, even though you can't eat it midrabanan. And the same thing according to all the other amiroyim over here as well. There is a considerable discussion about that, and in fact, Tosfos brings up a point earlier in our Masechta, when in that whole discussion about shechita and about what kind of blood is and isn't what kind of blood is and isn't and isn't machshir lekabel tumah. The fact is, so Tosfos discusses over there that it should be on the face of it machshir lekabel tumah, and you also have there's quite a lot of discussion among the Rishonim of ins and outs of this over here, and why specifically would we say that that according to Reb Shimon, we do need the blood to be machshir when we had that Gemara earlier when we said that it's the shechita alone that's the shechita alone that's machshir. In any case, so that's Reb Acha Breidur of Ika's answer is that we are talking about there was blood of shechita on it, but the question is whether that blood is actually considered blood of shechita, whether we consider it blood of a wound. And the question is how much of the shechita process is actually considered shechita. One thing is the Rosh points out, and this is Tosfos HaRosh points out in this connection, if there's no change in status during the Shechita, and the only thing is, just you have, you know, physically, you can't cut both simonim at once, then there's no question that Yeshna l'Shechita Metchila Vad Soif. You're certainly not going to say that only the last blood, only you're certainly not going to say that only one particular drop of blood that comes out at the end of the Shechita is Machshir. But here you have the factors of the change in status in the middle. So, for example, here you have this limb changes in status between the beginning and the end of the Shechita, where it starts off, it's Eva Menachai, but then it finishes off that it's only Eva Menachai Derabbanan, as we said before, Midaraisa, it would be Mutter. So now we can talk about whether if the blood was wiped off in between, whether it's considered blood that's Machshir or not. So now Reb Meir is going to hold the Shechita process includes the entire process, the high dam Shechita, therefore this is actually blood of Shechita, or Mar Sova, whereas Reb Shimon holds Ein Ela Shechita, Ela Ela Soif, the Shechita is only the end part of it, the high dam Machahu, and therefore in effect what you have over here is only blood from a wound, and therefore it's not Machshir L'Kabel Truma. So that's another way of explaining the machlokas. And the sixth way, Rav Ashi says, "B'shchita machshera soleidam kamitzugi." Exactly that. The machlokas is it has to do with what we learned earlier in our mesecta about whether the shchita itself creates the hechsher l'kabel truma or whether you actually need blood coming out. So now Rashi explains. Everybody is going to agree that a yad is relevant as far as hechsher. And we're going to say that the whole rest of the animal, although Shittim Kobetzis changes the Girsay and Rashi and says that everybody would hold there isn't. But in any case, we would say that the rest of the animal is considered a Yad. We could even say that even you pick up the small end and the big part doesn't come with it, it's still considered all connected. So now the question is, where blood squirted on the saver and was not wiped off. So now, is it Mokshur or not? So Reb Meir is going to hold that yes, because the fact is blood got on it, and it was Mokshur L'Kabel Truma. Whereas Reb Shimon holds that the Shechita is what creates the Hechsher, not the blood. Well then, here the Shechita, after all, doesn't make it Mutter to eat. It makes it that it's not Nevela, but it's still not able to be eaten. So therefore, Reb Shimon is going to say that therefore it's not Mokshur L'Kabel Truma, and therefore the limb itself is not, therefore the fact that there was Shechita is not going to help, and he's going to hold again that blood of Shechita is not going to be Machshir. So in other words, Reb Shimon would be arguing with Reb Meir on two points. If no blood comes out, Reb Shimon would hold that it's not Machshir anyway. If no blood comes out, Reb Meir would hold that it's not Machshir, whereas according to Reb Shimon, with a regular normal animal, the Shechita would. But in this case, when the limb is partially hanging off, then it's the other way around. According to Reb Meir, the fact that it's considered connected enough that now the Hechsher of the rest of the animal is going to be Machshir it as well, because blood came out, whereas according to Reb Shimon, the fact that blood came out, or even the fact that the blood squirted on this individual limb, whereas Reb Shimon is going to hold, no, the blood on the individual limb doesn't make a difference. Because blood of Shechita is not Machshir according to him. The only question is the Shechita Machshir? Well, since the Shechita doesn't make it Mutter to eat, then therefore then that's enough to make it that now it's not considered food either, and therefore it's not Mokshur L'Kabel Truma by virtue of the blood coming on it, and therefore you're going to have to have a separate Hechsher for that. So those are six different ways of understanding the Machlokas in our Mishnah. Now that we went through that, now the Gemara is going to ask about a couple of questions related to this matter of Yad. So here, the first one was, according to Rabbah's explanation of the Machlokas in our Mishnah, we're saying the question is, can the rest of the animal be considered a Yad for this Aver? If yes, then we're going to say as long as the yad becomes wetted with the blood, then it's going to be Mokshur L'Kabel Truma, and so will the food that's attached. And if not, then not. So the question is whether it's a yad. So now, Rabbah has a question. What about while the animal is alive? Would it be considered a yad for the limb? In other words, when the animal is alive, it's not Makabel Truma at all. So the question would be, when Reb Meir is saying over here, when you shecht the animal, then we can say, according to Rabbah's explanation, the rest of the animal's body becomes a yad for the saver. What about when the animal is alive? Would we say, suppose, for example, that, as we said in the Mishnah, that Mekablin Tumah B'Mekayman, we said that this half-detached limb, this mostly detached limb, is going to be able to become Tumas Oichlin in its place, Tzrichin Hechsher, it has to be wetted, But once it's wedded with one of the Shiva Mashkim, then it's able to be Mekabel Tumah, meaning, for example, if a Sheretz touches it, it's now considered food that became Tumah, and therefore it can be Metame other foods that it touches. The question is, does that apply only after the animal was Shechted, or maybe even while the animal is alive? We would say that if the Sheretz touches the rest of the animal, and this limb was already wedded with one of the Shiva Mashkim, will it be able to become Tomei? On the one hand, we could take the view, look, an animal can't be Mekabel Tumah, so why should that work? On the other hand, look, I mean, bones are not Mekabel Tumah either, and yet we said bones of animals, and yet we said a bone can serve as a yad to transmit Tumah in either direction. So even though bare bone would not be. So now, the question would be, what about then the animal as a whole? So would it be considered a yad? Now Tosfos asks the question though. Okay, but what's even the question? Again, exactly that. No yad is makabel truma by itself. Many yodis are not makabel truma by itself. Bones are not makabel truma. Stems are not makabel truma. So what? An animal is not makabel truma either. Why shouldn't it be able to be a yad? So Tosfos explains, fine, because they're not considered food. But over here, the animal, not just it's not food, but the fact is it's not just that it's not food, but animals in general are not makabel trumas oichlin. In fact, you can have an example. Tosfos says, what about Ben Pekua? Consider, for example, you have the case we learned a lot about earlier in our Masechta, where you shecht a mother animal and you find a baby inside the womb. So we said that baby doesn't require shtika. Nevertheless, it still is not makabel truma. So then, in other words, it's more than just that it still requires shvita. It's a fact that it's completely divorced from the whole idea of being makabel truma, even when you have a particular specimen that doesn't require shvita. So now, therefore, the question is, would it still be able to be considered a yad? In other words, in effect, Tosfos says, the point is, most yodis are not makabel truma because they're not edible. So they're just wood. But over here, it is actually food. It's just there's another factor. Namely that it's still alive and is not makabel truma. So is that enough to prevent it from being a yad or not? So the Gemara says teku. So we don't know the answer to that. Okay. Another question. Omar Abaya. Here's another question Abaya asks as far as yodis. Harei omru. Now we know we have a Mishnah in Masechta Uktzin that tells us kishus shenata ba'otzit. Suppose that you planted a pumpkin in a pumpkin or gourd or whatever. Strictly speaking, kishrus is some kind of gourd or cucumber or something like that, or whatever. Some kind of plant like that you planted in a flower pot. Now, as we've learned many times before, when a flower pot does not have a hole in it, then the stuff that whatever grows in it is considered detached from the ground because it's not able to get nourishment from the ground. There's no hole for it to get nourishment through. If there's a hole in the flower pot, then it's able to get nourishment from the ground, even if it's not touching it. The vapors from the ground or whatever are able to go up through the hole and nourish the plant, and therefore it's considered connected to the ground. But if not, then not. So here you planted this plant in a flower pot. So therefore, it would be makabel truma like any other food. But now, and for that matter, also another point Rashi makes is suppose that the plant that you planted, this gourd, was already tumei beforehand. So normally, when you replant tumei food, then it loses its tumma. But that's only when you plant it in the ground. Here, you plant it in a flower pot, and therefore it doesn't lose its tumma. It still retains its tumma because the flower pot, again, doesn't have a hole, and it's considered disconnected from the ground. Now, though, the Mishnah says, v'higdila, if now the plant grew, the yotzes, chutz la'otzes, and now some of the leaves are outside the flower pot, and therefore they're more directly over the ground, and they're able to get nourishment from the ground, So the Mishnah says to the Tanakama of the Mishnah says to Hora, then the whole thing will be Tahar. Because now at this point, the fact that some parts of the plant are able to get nourishment from the ground, in turn, they provide that nourishment to the rest of the plant, and therefore now the whole plant can be considered connected to the ground, and therefore if not able to be makabel truma, and if it was tumei before, then the truma goes away. That's what the Tanakama says over there. But Omer Reb Shimon v'chimat tiva l'tahar. But Reb Shimon asks, what kind of reason would there be for it to become tahar? The fact is, it mostly gets its nourishment from the roots, and the roots are in soil that's detached from the ground because it's in the flower pot. Ella, so Reb Shimon says, a tummy betumase v'tohar b'tohar ase. The part that was tummy remains tummy. The part that and so it's the part that's in the flower pot is still able to be makabel tumah. And if it was tummy before, it still remains tummy v'tohar b'tohar ase. Fine. The part that sticks out of the flower pot, which gets nourishment directly from the ground, that part will be considered connected to the ground. Tosfos points out, it's one thing, for example, you have, let's say, a tree that's in Eretz Yisrael and branches hang out to Chutz Laaretz, there we would go, the most of it is in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we would follow that. Here you have most of it, on the contrary, is in the flower pot. And then also, again, there's a difference between whether it has a hole in it or not. Here, the fact that there's no hole in the flower pot and it's just hanging over the edge, Reb Shimon doesn't consider that significant enough to prevent it from becoming tamei. So that's the Mishnah in Masechta Uktzin. So now, having given that introduction, Bo Yabaya, so now Abaya's question is, though, Maushita also Yad Lachavata, fine. Let's say according to Reb Shimon, that part of it is able to be Makabel Tuma, and part of it is not. The part that's sticking out is not able to be Makabel Tuma. Maushita also Yad Lachavata. But can the part that's outside the flower pot be able to transmit Tuma by virtue of the rule of Yad? Would we say, in other words, that so that the leaves themselves that are sticking out of the flower pot are not able to be Makabel Tuma? According to Reb Shimon, according to the Tanakhama, none of them are able to be Makabel Tumah, but according to Reb Shimon, part of this plant can, part can't. But what happens if the dead sheret touches the leaves? Would we say the leaves themselves are not able to be Makabel Tumah, but maybe they transmit the Tumah by the fact that they were Yad to the rest of the plant, or maybe not? And again, the point is, Tosfos says, here also the question is basically that, the same way as a living animal is not makabel tumah, the same way a plant planted into the ground is not makabel tumah either. So again, it's not just a matter of it's not makabel tumah because of the practical fact that it's not edible. Here, it's not makabel tumah. It's completely divorced maybe from the whole idea of tumah because it's attached to the ground just like with the animal. It's divorced from the whole idea of tumah by virtue of being a live animal. And again, the Gemara says, teiku, we have to leave that question unresolved. So in all these cases, basically, we would have to say that we have a suffix of tuma over here. Often we say when it comes to cases of suffix tuma, we often say it depends whether it's in Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabin. Rishus HaYochid, we often say, as we learned before, that suffix is tuma and Rishus HaRabin suffix will be tahor. Okay, here's another question. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, here's another question as far as this matter of Yad. Harei Omru, now we know the Chachamim have told us, Hamishtachva l'chatzid delas, if a person bows down to half of a gourd, Osra, then he makes it Osra. In general, a person bows down to, a person uses as a getchke, almost anything, it'll become Osra as Avodah Zarah, and it'll be Osra b'hanah as well. Now, as we're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow, Reb Shimon holds that something that's also b'ana is not able to have tumas urchlin. It's not considered food, and therefore it's not able to be makabel tuma. So now, this pumpkin, this half a pumpkin, is going to be also b'ana, so it wouldn't have tumas urchlin. So now the question is, what about the other half which is still connected to it? So Rashi explains, now wait a second though, what's even the question? Avodah Zarah itself is metame. So what are you talking about? Whether it can transmit tumah? the Avodah Zarah itself, the half that was worshipped, is anyway tumah. So Rashi says, no, that whole concept is only a tumah derabanan. Here we want to know, what if there's tumah deraisa involved over here? So that's one explanation of Rashi. Rashi gives a second explanation that the question is actually, that the question is, given that half of it is Tomei with the Tumah of Avodah Zarah, and it's considered to a certain extent like a Sheretz, then would the other half be considered a Yad, and therefore if a person touches the other half, then it's considered as though he touched Avodah Zarah itself, or maybe not. Or even if Rashi says, if it's not considered a Yad, then it would be altogether Tahar, and if it's Mokshu L'Kabel Tumah, then you have another matter, then at least it would become Tomei by that, it would become considered food, or even if it was Mokshu, but you could argue maybe that you could argue, fine, the other half that wasn't worshipped becomes a Rishon L'Tumah, so now something that touches it becomes a Sheni L'Tumah. So does that work or not? So that's the question. So what happens as far as, so Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to ask, what about the other half? Is it considered a Yad or not? So again, Rashi has two explanations, whether we're talking about whether we're talking about whether it's able to transmit a tuma d'oraisa to the half that was worshipped or not, given that the half that was worshipped is tame anyway, but that's only midrabanan. Or the other question is, would the other half itself become tame from the first half? Would it be considered a yad? The Rambam has a third explanation. The question is, the half that was worshipped, no question, it's also bahana. What about the other half? Would it also be also bahana by virtue of being a yad? So here's where Tosfos points out that Tosfos prefers Rashi's first explanation. The question is, as far as yad for tum of a tara. And again, the question is that usually we would say yad in and of itself is not edible. Here we're talking about something which is edible, but it's divorced from tumah for a different reason. So void of yumi, maushatasa yad b'chavata. So the yumi's question is, would the half that was not worshipped become a yad for the half that was worshipped? Again, according to Rashi's first explanation, as far as transmitting Tumah d'oraisa, according to the second explanation, whether the other half itself would become tame from the first half, or according to the Rambam, would it be also along with the first half? And again, the Gemara says teiku, we have to leave that question unresolved as well. And a fourth question, Amar Papa, Hare Omru. Now we know there's another Mishnah in Masechta Uktin that says Yichur Shel Te'ena Shenifshach. Suppose that a branch of a fig tree was partially broken off, or Ma'ura B'Klipasa, but it's still partially attached. It's still attached only by the bark. Rabbi Yehuda says now, let's say there are figs that are on that branch that was partially broken, that was mostly broken off. Rabbi Yehuda says that the figs on that branch are still not makabel truma because they're still connected to the tree, and therefore, and since they're connected, then they're not makabel truma. B'chamim, the chum say it depends. Im yochol lichyos, if that branch would be able to regenerate, if you were to tie it back to the tree, would it regenerate and become a live, fresh branch again, tahor, then they come and say, fine, we agree the fruit on that branch is tahor, it's not makabel truma, v'im lav, tome, but if not, then it's makabel truma, because now these fruit that's on this branch are not considered connected to the ground anymore. So now, again, you have a similar question. As far as yad, bo yira papa, ma'ushi, also yad, l'chaveri. What about, can this branch be a yad for another one? Meaning, Rashi explained, so again, Rashi has two explanations. One is, suppose that this branch was mostly broken off. Suppose that you have another branch, another sub-branch that was broken off that one, and also connected only by the bark. Now, suppose that second one is so badly broken that it's never going to regenerate. So if it was by itself, then according to the Chachamim, the fruit on it would be makabel truma. But what about, though, the first one is still able to regenerate? Now the question is, though, would that first one, which is only partially broken off, would it be considered a yad, and therefore, so now it would transmit truma to it? So in other words, if a dead sheretz or whatever source of truma touched the first branch, which is still able to regenerate, then would it transmit truma by virtue of yad to the second branch and the fruit on it, and therefore those fruit would become tame, assuming that they were wedded with one of the Shiva Mashkim, or not? That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is the tree as a whole. Would the tree as a whole be considered a yad as far as transmitting tumah? The question is, a yad is something that you pick it up with. You can't pick it up with the tree. So the Chazanish gives an explanation because a yad is not just something that you pick it up with. A yad can also be something that holds something and prevents it from falling. Where therefore the tree can be considered a yad. So the question is whether it would be considered a yad. Again, the first branch, according to Rashi's first explanation, or the tree as a whole, according to the second one, is still attached to the ground. And therefore the question is whether it can be a yad. Tosfos, by the way, points out Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who says that he's tahor. Now we learned previously that when you have fruit that dried on the tree become tumas oichlin. First of all, that might not be according to Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fruit that's on this branch that broke off is still not makabel truma. Another possibility, Tosfos says, is the difference when they dried up on there, that would be considered even worse than over here where it's still attached by the bark. Anyway, so the Papa's question is, again, would the first branch or the rest of the tree be considered a yad for it? And again, the Gemara says teiku. We have to leave that unresolved. Yet another question. Omer of Zera. Hare Omru. Here's a din that's relevant as far as the halachas of Tzaras. We know that the saras of houses, this was a couple of days ago in Rambam 3 Prakim, so you have a din that a house that has saras, you have those various scenarios. So sometimes the first thing you do is close up the house for a week. Sometimes you have, if the saras is spread, then you need to remove the stones and the plaster and then and put in new stones and new plaster and then see what happens. You have like a whole flow chart over there. You have with saras and houses, you can have up to 3 weeks where the thing is still in question. You close up the house for a week, and then you take a look at the end of the first week, and you see if it's spread. Then you have to remove the stones and the plaster and all, and put back in the stones and so forth. If it's still stayed the same, then you close it for the second week. At the end of the second week, you see whether it's spread or not, and so forth. And eventually, you may have to have a case where the house is demolished as a whole. And then on the other hand, you have cases where the house becomes tahor. Now the din is that so now you have this case where you have to take out the stones and replace them with other stones. So now the question is like this: you have two two different things that might have to be done with those stones that have saras on them. Either you might have to just remove them from the wall and replace them with other ones, or you may have to tear down the whole house. Now, suppose you have a duplex. Suppose you have two houses, one next door to the other, that share a common wall. Now we learn in a Mishnah in Masechet Nagoyim, Evan Shebezovis. Suppose you have the stone, the cornerstone between the two houses. Rashi points out that in the corners, usually you put extra large stones over there to help hold the whole thickness of the wall together. So unlike other stones where you might have a particular stone is visible, is visible only in one house or only in the other, this Evan Shebezovis, this cornerstone, is going to be large enough that it takes up the whole thickness of the wall and therefore, the question is, the Mishnah says, true cholitz. So when you're taking out the stones, when you have the case after 1 week or 2 weeks, as the case may be, where you have to take out the stones and replace them, so then noitzitz, so cholitz is kula, then the din is you have to take out that entire stone. Ochsho noitzitz, but if you're having to tear down the house, noitzitz es shaloy maneach es shochaveri, then you only have to take out the part of the stone that belongs to your house, and you leave the part that belongs to the other house. Rashi explains, because when it comes to taking out the stones, the pasuk is v'chiltzu es avonim, you have to take out the stones. So that implies the entire stone. But when it says about tearing down the house, this is a nosat, that's a bias. You should tear down the house, and that implies only the house that was affected, not the other one. So you only have to tear down the house that was. So you only have to tear down the actual house that was affected. You can leave the other half of the stone. So now, Boy Rav Zera said, Rav Zera's question is, Ma'ush Ta'asa Yad L'Chavata. Again, the question is, will that be considered a Yad for the other one? In other words, because the stone itself is Tomei as well. The stone itself that had Saras is Tomei. When you take it out of the house, the positive says you have to put it outside the house into a Tomei place. The question is, so now if you took out that stone and half of it never had Saras on it in the first place, nevertheless, would the half of it that never had Saras, would that be considered a Yad, and therefore the Tumma would apply to the other half as well, and therefore the question is, and there, so now if you touch the other half, would you become Tomei? So that's how Rashi explains it. The Ramban explains, and actually this explanation of his works also as far as before, the case about the pumpkin, half of which was worshipped, that the question is, given that you have to eventually cut it apart, because eventually when the house is torn down, only half of the stone is going to remain in place, and the other half is going to be taken out, so now, and the same thing with the pumpkin, you have to cut off the half that was worshipped and destroy it, but the other half not, do we consider it already as though it's separated, and therefore it's not considered a yad, or do we still consider the fact is that they are still together, and therefore the Tumma spreads from one to the other. And again, the Gemara says, take, or we have to leave that question unresolved. Okay, so those were four questions.
So what do we do in the meantime?
So in all these cases, when you have a suffix, the usual rule is, The usual rule with Suffolk of Tumah is that the usual rule is it depends whether it's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Rosh Hashanah Avim. If the question comes up, generally speaking, when the question comes up in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then we will usually say that a Suffolk went, that because of the Suffolk, you have to consider it Tumah. Whereas if it's in Rosh Hashanah Avim, then usually we say in the case of a Suffolk, we would consider it Tahar. Some pastures, that would be the case. The pastures, that would be the case. By all of these, then it would presumably be like that. That we have the suffix, and therefore because of that suffix, then we would have to distinguish between Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Avim, presumably. Okay.
But aren't we with the Doraisa? We machmir. And so we should be machmir for both.
So I actually do see that, for example, as far as this one, as far as the stone, for example, yeah, the Ma'aser Rekeach, and the Rambam wonders why don't we say Sveika D'oraisa L'chumra. So okay, he says I don't know why the Rambam just says that it's a suffix. I mean, I suppose we could say that when the Rambam says that it's a suffix, just means that therefore, in other words, because it's a suffix D'oraisa, we have to be machmir. But he doesn't actually specify that.
So he would say it's coming.
So it sounds like according to the Ma'aser Rekeach, you would have to assume that it's Tomei because we're talking a Suffolk D'oraisa, but the Rambam doesn't actually say that in so many words.
Right.
Yeah.
Shkaya.
Okay. Well, no, we're still going to continue if you have a few more minutes. We still have, we're only a little bit into Amud Beis, so I'll try to make it a little faster, but we do have more to cover if you want, if you're able to.
Okay.
Okay, so the Mishnah said Mesa Behema. The Mishnah had said that if the animal dies with this limb hanging partially off it, and there wasn't a shchita, then we said that the limb that's hanging off, we said does require hechsher because now it wasn't by default meant for food. But we said the limb is metame, as Avim and Achai, but not as Avim Nevela. According to the Meir and the Shimon, says that it's Tahar. So the Gemara says Mesa Behema. So my Ikumen Avim Achai La Eva Shalana Vela. We're saying in the Mishnah that it was Avim and Achai, and now it was saying that now it's Metame as Avim and Achai, as a limb from a living animal, but it's not considered an Aver of Nevela. So the question is my Ikumen Avim and Achai La Eva Shalana Vela. Either one is Metame, either one is an Avatuma. So what's the actual difference between them? And the answer is Ikabinayo, Bosila Purish Mimenu. The difference would be if some flesh comes off it. So you have the Aver as a whole came off. And now, later on, a piece of meat was removed from that aver. The ibu bosa porish me aver nachai loy metame. So now, if it comes flesh that comes off of an aver nachai is not metame. Me aver minan avela metame. But if it comes off from an aver from a nevela, then it's still metame because any kazayis of a nevela is metame. So that's the difference. Okay, the Gemara says aver minachai de metame maikra. Where is there a pasuk that tells us in the first place that an aver minachai is metame? An Averman from Nevela, it says clearly in the Pasuk, but where does it say Averman Achai? So Amrav Yehuda Amrav, because the Pasuk says V'chiyomus min ha-behema. The Pasuk says if it dies from the animal. So from the animal implies even a part of an animal is also, and the Pasuk goes on to say that it's Metame. So therefore it means even part of the animal. So the Gemara asks, V'haimi boile l'chidach, Rav Yehuda Amrav. What is Rav Yehuda telling us in the name of Rav that we can learn from this word, min ha-behema, about Averman Achai? We need that those words in the Pasuk to teach us a different din that Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav. To Amr Rav Yehuda Amrav, V'amilav masnis etana, others say it was taught in a braisa, when the Pasuk says, V'chi yomus min ha-behema, when the Pasuk says, if there dies of the animal, that means miktas behema metama, or miktas behema ena metama, only some types of animals that die in a way that they're not able to be eaten are metama. And other kinds are not. The Ezuzu, which kind is not Matame, after it died, Zu Trefa Shashachta, refers to a Trefa animal that was shechted, even though you can't eat it, nevertheless, it's still not Matame as Tumas Nevela. So therefore, so we're using the word Minah Behema for that Derasha. And the answer is Imkain, if it meant only that Derasha, Lichtav Rachmanim Mei Mi Behema, or Mei Ha Behema, then the Torah could have written, without the word Min, it could have written the Mem as a prefix to the word Behema. My min ha-behema, the fact that it says mem in the first place from is one derasha, and the fact that it says min spelled out in full is a second derasha, and therefore shmami natauti, we can learn both derashas. Okay, so that's where we know that a limb that comes off a living animal is mitame. All right, the Gemara asks Yehochia filibosanami. By that logic, then the same thing should apply even to flesh that comes off a living animal. And yet we're saying that it's not that bosa that if flesh comes off an Avim and Achai, it's not metame. So why not? And the answer is loisak daita. You can't think that it should be because D'tanya, we learn in another braisa. Yocho yehe basar aperish min achai tamei. You would think that flesh that separates from a living animal should be matamei. Like an avela and like an eva min achai. No, tamalemu, chiyomus min abehema. Therefore, the pasuk mentions if there dies from an animal, from which we learn, ma misa sheina oisa chalifin, death, when the animal dies, it's never going to regenerate. That's it. It's dead. It's gone. So af kol sheina oisa chalifin, the same way, in order for it to have the truma of nevela or the truma of eva min achai, it has to be something that would never regenerate. Now, if you tear off flesh, then eventually it will heal other, it'll grow other flesh instead. It may be, there'll be scar tissue or whatever, but there'll still be some tissue over there. Divir Rabbi Yossi, that's what Rabbi Yossi says, or on the side it says it should be Rabbi Yossi Aglili says. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that that's the reason why Buster is not Matame, as opposed to a whole Aver falls off, it's never going to regenerate. Rabbi Akiva says you can learn it differently. The words of the pasuk says, Behema, Ma Behema Gidim Batsamos, just like a complete behema includes not only flesh, it also considers gidim, it also includes gidim, which we've learned before, gidim has a wide variety of meanings, and it includes bones, afko gidim batsamas, the same thing. For it to be matame as an animal, it has to contain gidim batsamas. Rebbe Omer, and Rebbe says a third way, behema, my behema bosu gidim batsamas, just like a behema, contains all three, flesh, so as Rebbe Akiva had mentioned, only gidim and bones. So the same thing, it has to be gidim and bones. Rebbe says, no, it's not just, it doesn't, a behema doesn't just include gidim and bones, my behema bosu gidim batsamas, a behema includes flesh and gidim and atzamas. I've called bosu gidim atzamas the same way any animal, any part of an animal that's going to be tamez, evim and achai, has to contain bosu gidim and atzamas. And here you're talking about a piece of flesh that doesn't necessarily have gidim and atzamas. It certainly doesn't have atzamas, and it doesn't have bones, and it doesn't necessarily have gidim either. Okay, so we have three different ways of learning the drasha. But the Gemara says, so, and in particular, Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva are learning from the same word behema. The difference is that Rabbi Akiva is not mentioning Vosser, and Rebbe is. So, my Ikabin Rebbe with Rabbi Akiva. What's the practical difference between Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva? The answer is Ikabin Ayo Akuba. The argument between them would be as far as the lower leg. The lower leg has gidim, and it has bones, but it doesn't have flesh. It basically just has a covering of skin. So, now the question is, would that be considered an Eva Menachai? So if it falls off the animal while it's alive, would it be considered Eva Menachai? According to Rebbe, it wouldn't be considered because it doesn't have Basar, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it would because he doesn't care about Basar as long as it has Gidim Vatsamas. Tosfos points out that Tosfos first of all brings a different girsa, that the Tosfos brings a different girsa that the machlokes between them would be as far as flesh, that if flesh comes off without gidim batsamos, then it would mean, in other words, that the machlokes would be when it comes to that, when it comes to flesh. On the other hand, the girsa that we have here, Akuba, the lower leg means, in other words, Rabbi Akiva would say, why don't you need Basar? Because you have precisely that. You have the lower leg, which doesn't have Basar, and nevertheless, it's still considered an Aver. Whereas Rebbe would take the view, no, but most Avarim, most limbs do have Basar, and therefore it should be considered a limb. It has to have Basar on it. And Tosfos points out another way of understanding it is, everybody's going to agree by the lower leg, it's created like that without Basar, so it's no worse than any other Avarim. The question is, an Aver that had flesh on it, and then that flesh was removed, that would be the Machlokas. That would be another way of, that would be if you have the Girsa, Ikabinayo Basar. So the Machlokas would be, if the flesh was removed from an Aver, and all that's left is the Gidim Batsamas, is it Matame or not? So that would be another way of, explaining the Machlokas. So that's how we understand the difference between Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva, that Rebbe is focusing on Basar and Rabbi Akiva is not. What about Ben Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi, Maglubi, Ma'ik, Benayu? What about what's the practical difference between Rabbi Akiva, who learns from Behema, and Rabbi Yossi, Maglubi, who learns from the word B'chiyamos? And the answer is, Amar Papa, the machlokas between them would be, what about, for example, the kidney or the upper lip? So if a complete kidney or a complete upper lip came off an animal, so now, those don't contain bones in them, or they considered, so on the other hand, they don't regenerate. Well, then, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, they would be matame, because the fact is, they don't regenerate, whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, they're not considered an aver, because they don't contain bones. The Gemara points out, the Taninami, Gabi Shrotzim Kahai Gavna, we have a similar braisa as far as Shrotzim. Yochol Basar, Aperishman, Ashrotzim, Yehei Tamei. you would think that that flesh that comes off one of the Shmoneh Shrotzim will be Metame, just like the dead sheriff as a whole. No, Talmud Lomer B'Mosam, therefore the Pasuk says when they die, same thing. Mam Misa Sheino Isa Chalifin, Apkol Sheino Isa Chalifin, Divir Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Rabbi Yosef Aglili is going to say that it has to be something that doesn't regenerate, and again, flesh will regenerate. Rav Akiva, I'm a sheretz. Rav Akiva, on the other hand, focuses on the word sheretz. Ma sheretz, gidim v'atzamas, just like a sheretz as a whole, contains gidim and bones. I've called gidim v'atzamas the same way. For a sheretz, simimitame, has to be a living part of a sheretz that came off, has to contain gidim and bones. Rebbe, I'm a sheretz. Ma sheretz, boss of gidim v'atzamas. I've called boss of gidim v'atzamas. And Rebbe says you have to have flesh as well. So you have the same kind of distinction. Then Rebbe, the Rav Akiva, Ikka b'nai, Akuva. The machlokes between Rebbe and Rav Akiva would be as far as the lower leg, where again, the lower leg doesn't have flesh on it. So according to Rav Akiva, it doesn't matter. It's still Matame as Eva from a Sheretz. And according to Rebbe, not, because it doesn't have flesh on it. Or again, according to that alternate Girsa and Tosfos, you're talking about just like the lower leg has no flesh on it. What if a different Eva was removed from the animal and from the Sheretz, and then afterwards, the meat was scraped or was removed, was scraped off? Would it still be Matame according to Rav Akiva? Yes. According to Rebbe, no. Bein Rav Akiva, Rav Yosef Aglili. What's the practical difference between Rav Akiva and Rav Yosef Aglili? And we said, as before, Amar Papa Kol Yevanif Sasayim. Ikka b'nayu, the machlokes would be as far as, for example, the kidney or the upper lip, which doesn't contain bones, but nevertheless, it's an aver as a whole. So are we going to consider, the Tosfos points out, we're talking about a complete one, so it would be considered. It doesn't regenerate, but according to Rav Akiva, it wouldn't be metame because it doesn't have bones in it. And according to Rav Yosef Aglili, it would, because he doesn't care about bones. Tosfos does point out that, you know, on the other hand, the fact is bones don't regenerate at all. On the other hand, flesh doesn't completely regenerate. It does. Bones, in other words, will heal. A bone is broken and it'll heal, but they'll still always be able to tell there was a break over there. And the same thing with flesh, there'll always be a scar over there. So in a different context, then we call that bones don't regenerate. And flesh does, so that's the difference. In other words, bones can heal, and flesh can heal, but there's always going to be a scar there. Okay, so now we have two different machlokas in, one as far as nevela, and one as far as a sheret. So why do we need the same machlokas in by both of them? The Gemara says it's tzricha. We need it by both of them. De'yesh min behema, if we were told, or why does the pasuk need to tell us the same phrases by both of them? De'yesh min behema, if the Torah had told us by behema, by nevela, you would say hayna taima. You know why? Dilemma taima mechayim. You know why? It's not metame. When it's alive, and you need a complete aver to be metame, mishum dele metame b'kadosha, because after all, an animal has another leniency on it that you don't have. A lentil-sized piece of it is not going to be metame. And nevela, you need at least a kazayas. Abel sheretz to metame b'kadosha, but a sheretz which is metame, even a lentil-sized piece, eimel letame mechayim. Maybe even that the flesh that comes off of it while it's alive, then maybe it should be metame even then, even though it's not boss of a gidim batzalmais. The Iyashmin, even though it will regenerate, etc. The Iyashmin and Sheretz, on the other hand, if the Torah told us only by Sheretz, you would say, Mishum Delemetami B'masa. On the other hand, a Sheretz has a Kula compared to a Nevela, namely that if you carry a Sheretz without touching it, you don't become Tomei. Therefore, you could say, Lemetami Mechaim, therefore you have a Kula, therefore that parts of it are not Metami when they're alive, unless it's a complete Aver. Aval Behema. Well, you would say even a complete aver. Aval behema, but when it comes to an animal, the metame b'masa, where a dead animal is metame even by carrying it, emes, etame b'chayim, maybe even flesh that comes off it while it's alive would be metame, tzricha, and therefore the Torah needs to tell us by both of them that you have, either from the word min ha-behema, or v'chiyomos, or sheretz, or b'moisam, teaches us in each of the two cases that you have this difference between aver and boser, and an aver is metame, and boser is not. So that's why the Torah needed to repeat it by both of them. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We'll continue talking about these dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, and we'll finish off the parak, Be'ez Hashem.